program, take out this yellow insert, and we'll get there in just a bit. We're going to talk about connecting, and of course, that's one of the values that we have here at South Point. Connect, grow, serve. We want to connect with Jesus and, of course, connect with each other as well. If you need a Bible, we lift up your hand. Our ushers would be happy to give one to you. If you have a Bible, turn there to Luke chapter 5. We'll get there in just a bit. Luke chapter 5. And connection is so important. And I want you to just put your mind at ease for a moment. This isn't a recruitment message. I'm not going to have you try to get you to sign up for anything or say, well, he's talking about this because he wants us to connect to the church or he wants us to sign up for this or that. Now, it is true that our Connect group started in a couple weeks, and I do want you to think about joining a group. But this isn't my opportunity to twist your arm to sign up for something or make you feel guilty if you don't. I want to talk to you from the perspective that Jesus calls us to connect with each other. Jesus calls us to be in relationship with each other. And I want to show that to you from a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 5, and we'll get there in just a moment. Before we get there, though, look at your notes. Leslie Parrott is a Christian author that writes on relationships. I love what he says here about friendship. He says, good friends ease our pain and lighten our heavy load. Not only are friends good for the soul, but for the body as well. Friends help us ward off depression, boost our immune system, lower our cholesterol. Hey, look at that. Increase the odds of surviving with coronary disease and keep stress hormones in check. 6 top medical studies now bear this out. Their findings didn't seem to be influenced by other conditions or habits such as obesity, smoking, drinking, or exercise. The thing that mattered most was friends. What's more, research is showing that you can extend your life expectancy by having the right kind of friends. Amen. If you want to live a long and happy life, not only does the Bible tell us that, but now science is telling us, get in relationship, get in friendship, get connected with people. It's going to help you in many, many ways. And of course, Jesus models that for us. In just a moment, we're going to read a story where Jesus helps us to see that. In fact, we're going to turn there right now. I'm going to ask Jake to come on up. Jake's going to read our text this morning from Luke chapter 5. Let's stand together. I know you've been standing a lot this morning, but for the Word of God, we're going to show honor and respect to it as Jake reads Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 26. And before he reads, do this with me, would you please? Sometimes we listen to the Word of God, and it's a story we've heard before. I want you to engage with the story. Picture that you are there. What would it be like to be in the middle of this story? Then we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law was sitting nearby. It seems that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judah, as well as from Jerusalem, and the Lord healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up and walk'? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with this great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today."
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to speak to us clearly today from it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So a lot's going on in this story. I want to take some time this morning by looking at it in a little bit of detail. So the Pharisees show up, and they're harassing Jesus. And this is kind of the first mention of the time in the Gospel of Luke where the Pharisees show up to try to catch Jesus doing something wrong. And if we were to follow this story all the way out, we know this is kind of the beginning of their conflict. They got upset because they said, "Who are you to forgive sins?" Right? And that's a really big deal. But this morning I want to focus more on the friendship of the men that brought their friend to Jesus. So like I said a moment ago, I want you to imagine what it was like to be there. And let me give you a little bit of background so you can picture what this was like. So in a large home in that area, about 50 people could fit on the inside of the home. And so picture about 50 people kind of crammed together. They'd come to hear Jesus. And he was gaining in popularity. He was an important teacher that day. So they packed in there. There was no room. They couldn't get their sick man to Jesus. And you say, well, how'd they get up on the roof? Well, no, in that culture, the stairs were on the outside of the house. And the stairs are on the outside, so they went up on the outside. And for them, and even now today in that culture, your roof was like your family room. Your roof was like a place you could go in the evening because it got kind of cool. You know, if you live in Elk Grove or parts of Sacramento, we've got the Delta breeze, right? And in the evening, the breeze kind of blows. And so that's how they would live in the evening. So in the evening, they'd go up on the roof, and it was kind of like a spare room. And so these friends went up there, you know, to kind of break in and break through. The roof wasn't like ours, of course, made with plywood and roofing tiles. It was made of dried mud and branches. And so if you worked hard enough, you could actually break through it. So you need to know all that to kind of know the story. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to split. There's five main characters in the story. And what we're going to do is we're going to start over here on this side. So this part of the room right now, you're the first person in the story, okay? So I want to hear a cheer from this side. This is you, okay? And you are there. You're in the room. You're listening to Jesus. You're focused on what he's saying. And Jesus is teaching. And all of a sudden, you begin to hear something up on the roof. You think, man, this guy's got a rodent problem or something. There's rats up there. I don't know what's going on. And pretty soon now, things start to flitter down because they're trying to break through the roof. And so now plaster and pieces of mud and little branches. And you're thinking, what in the world is going on? In fact, I tried to think of a way to get somebody up there to start sprinkling stuff down from our roof, but that would have been way too distracting. But picture it, okay? Picture, you guys especially, picture you're sitting there, you're listening to Jesus. Hey, you got there early. You got a seat. I mean, you got there early and you fought your way in there. You're sitting there. You're trying to listen to Jesus. And now you hear some commotion up on the roof. Now you begin to see the hole getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This section right here, let me hear a cheer from this section right here. Yeah. You are the owner of the house. You thought, okay, I want to hear Jesus, so I'll open my home, and, it's going to cost me maybe a pot of coffee and some cookies, you know. Okay, I'll host the meeting. Okay, no big deal. And now all of a sudden, there's a hole in your roof. You're thinking, will my insurance company even cover this? Is this an act of God because Jesus is here or what? You know, is this, what's my deductible, okay? And think about it. It's not a small hole because they lower the guy down on a mat, and the mat's got to be horizontal, otherwise you're going to tip him down. So the hole is huge. Brian, our resident contractor, how would you feel about that? I mean, that would not be a good feeling. All of a sudden you're looking at, hey guys, well, you know, this is my roof. You're making a big hole in it. Wow. What were they thinking? All right. You guys, are you ready? Let me hear a cheer from this section right here. You are the crippled man's friends. You're the ones that thought, you know what, we're going to do something about our friend here. We love this guy so much, we'll do whatever it takes to get him help. We're desperate. We're concerned for our friends. Now, here's a question for you guys. Why didn't you just wait till Jesus was done teaching? He's going to come out of there at some point. He's not going to be in there forever. But you were so desperate to help your friend, you thought, you know what, we're going to make a hole in the roof and lower our friend down through the roof. Whose idea was that? I mean, who would think of something like that? Yeah. Pointed somebody right there. You know, do you have a friend like this? I mean, who just kind of thinks out of the box and says something like, "Hey, I know. Let's do this. We want to get our friend to Jesus. We can't get in the house. I know. Let's go up on the roof and put a hole in the roof and lower our friend down." I mean, who thinks about that? Apparently, somebody in this section thought about that. And maybe we all have a friend who kind of thinks about these bizarre and strange ideas. That is so crazy. It just might work. This section over here, let me hear a cheer from you guys. You are the man on the mat. Now, we don't think about this, do we? That you are actually laying on your mat, and somehow they've tied ropes on the corners, and they lower you down. Now, you're not as tall as this ceiling, but you're probably 10 or 12, 15 feet in the air on a mat, and you're being lowered down by ropes. Did they tie the ropes well? Are they going to keep it level, or is one side going to go this way and you're going to be tipped off? I mean, you're a crippled man. You don't want to be tipped off in this room of people. And you begin to be lowered down, lowered down, lowered down. Now you're at eye level with the people that are there, and they're scowling at you. Who do you think you are? We got here early. We got a good seat. And you just drop in from the ceiling. You think you're pretty special, don't you? I mean, who do you think you are? I mean, you're cutting in line here. You're not doing, you know, this is not okay. And then you get lowered and lowered and lowered further, and now you're right in front of Jesus. That may sound exciting, but it may sound kind of scary because Jesus is an important guy, and he's teaching, and now you're interrupting him. What do you do when you get down to Jesus? Hey. Just thought I'd drop in, you know. The last group is the back row in the media booth. Let me hear a cheer from you guys. Now, you had all morning to work on your cheer, and that's the best you can do. Okay, this is why you are Jesus. Now, people that sit in the back row either need Jesus or they are Jesus. I'm not sure which it is, but maybe they need Jesus. Think about the story from Jesus' point of view. You're teaching, you're into it, you've got a room full of people. How do you respond when this guy comes down through the roof? Now, if you're like most of us who teach, you don't like to be interrupted. You don't like to have distractions. I mean, nowadays we have cell phones going off and things like that. Jesus didn't have that, but here's a guy coming down from the ceiling. How do you feel about that? Are you okay? Now think about it. Now, the way I think of Jesus, of course, is that he paused and he smiled and he healed the man. So it all turned out good. But you've got to think that as he was being lowered down, there's probably some anxiety here. How is this going to happen? What's going to happen? And how is Jesus going to respond? So we look at this story from all these different perspectives, and it helps us understand it's not just a story in the Bible. It really, really happened. And I want to dig below the surface a little bit this morning, and I am going to get to the notes right now, so I want you to write this down, because the story really is about, of course, it's about healing, it's about who Jesus is, all that is true, but I want to focus on the connection this morning. And so the first thing I want you to write down today is connection is a very spiritual topic. Connection, being connected in a relationship and friendship is a very, very spiritual topic. That's the first fill-in. Now, some people say, well, it's not very spiritual. You know, the idea of talking about friendships and relationships, that sounds like just kind of fluff or just kind of optional kind of stuff. Let me say it this way. There aren't too many things that will have a bigger impact and a bigger effect on your life than the friends and the relationships that you surround yourself with. We used to say when our children were younger, and maybe you've said this as well, show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Because you could tell by the people you surround yourself with, the people you have friendships with, the people you spend time with are going to affect you. And of course, that is a very, very spiritual issue and a very, very spiritual topic. And Jesus models this, by the way, for us. We don't see it here, but when Jesus went to call 12 followers of his, what did he do? He spent the whole night in prayer before he called Peter, James, and John, and the others. He prayed about it. He said, Lord, help me to surround myself with the 12 men that you want me to spend the next 3 years with. One of the most important decisions that he made. And if you were honest with me this morning, you would agree, I think, that many of us wouldn't be where we are. You wouldn't be in the chair you're sitting in today if it wasn't for a friend that had an interest in your life. If you didn't have a friend that shared the gospel with you, a friend that invited you to church, a friend that once you walked in those doors reached out and said, hey, I care about you, I'm concerned about you. If we wouldn't have had someone like that, most, if not all of us, would not be here this morning. Say amen if you know that's true. It's a very, very spiritual topic, very, very important topic. We were never meant to live life alone. This idea that just me and Jesus, it's all I need, me and Jesus, that's not biblical. We were never meant to live this life alone, and we were never meant to live the Christian life alone. That's that next fill in there, write that in. We're never meant to live life alone or the Christian life alone. Again, I'll prove it to you. In the Garden of Eden, it was perfect. It was a place of utter and perfection. And what did God say? It is not good for man, it's not good for Adam to be alone. It's not good. Now, that's not a commentary on singleness versus marriage. It's a commentary on relationship and connection. God said it's not good. He did not make us, he did not hardwire us to be alone. He hardwired us for relationship and community and connection. So it's a very, very spiritual topic. When we talk about it in church, we ought to pay attention to realize it has an impact for my life. Number two, connection is not only spiritual, it's mutual. Connection is mutual. A friendship that does not involve mutual giving is not a friendship at all. And we see it even in the story. We'll get to it in a moment about what it was about these men that they loved their crippled friends so much. Now here's an illustration that's helpful to me, is that really we all have what I've heard called is an emotional gas gauge, right? We all have an emotional gas gauge. By I mean, you know, either we're being filled up emotionally, we're feeling stronger, we're feeling, you know, more engaged and more aware and feeling great about things, or we kind of are headed towards empty. And if I had to ask you today, well, how are you doing emotionally? Most of us guys would say, well, I don't know. Ladies are probably more in tune with that question. Us guys, sometimes we struggle with that question. But if we think about it, people have an impact on our emotions. There are some people that if you spend too much time around them, you feel your gas tank going from full to towards empty. Now, don't point at them right now, okay? I know some of you are thinking, you know, You're giving me one of these, okay? Don't do that. You know, there are just some people in life where you spend time with them and you feel like they're draining you, they're dragging you down. Maybe they're struggling, they're negative, they're discouraging, whatever it would be, and you walk away from them and think, man, that was hard work. It was difficult. Now, again, we all have those moments, but the consistent draining of your energy is something we need to be aware of. On the other hand, there are some people you spend some time with and you walk away, you're feeling like, hey, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling great. You know, I kind of was having a tough time and I spent a couple minutes with this person and maybe we, you know, got a cup of coffee or we just talked for a while and boy, I'm on top of the world. And they're the ones that kind of fill your emotional gas tank. Is this making sense with anybody this morning? And a good friendship is not one that's always a draining one, not one where you always are walking away feeling like, wow, how can I avoid doing that again? Now, all that to say, there are people in our lives that we are called to minister to, that we're called to bless and to love and to spend time with. I'm not saying we just avoid people that are difficult or sometimes need our love and our care. Of course not. But a friendship is going to be mutual, where you feel like, okay, maybe I'm helping them and they're helping me and we're in this together. And it's not just I'm always the giver and they're always the taker or vice versa. And we see that in the Word of God. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. My prayer for you and my prayer for me is I have relationships that are mutual, friendships that benefit both people. It's not just, well, I'm always helping that person and they're all or vice versa. You can't always be the strong one. Again, there are times when you'll need friends to carry you on the mat. There are times when you feel like you're the one that needs help and you need support and you need all those things, and that's fine. But it shouldn't always be that way. Sometimes we can have difficulty in relationships because we never let anyone know that we have needs or that we're hurting or that we need a friend. The old Simon and Garfunkel song, I am a rock, I am an island, right? We just feel like, well, I'm a tough guy, and I'm okay, and I'm always doing good. If that's your attitude, you probably never have good relationships or good friends, because friendship is that mutual giving and taking. There's a good give and take in healthy relationships. It's not one person doing all the giving and another doing all the taking. And again, there's kind of two ditches we can drive into here. One is saying, well, I'll always be the strong one. I'll always carry you. I'll never need any help. I don't want to be needy or weak. I'll be kind of the tough guy in the relationship. That's not a good place to be. But then on the other side of the road, the other ditch to fall in is to say, well, I'll always be the one on the mat. I'll always be the one that needs help. You'll always be helping me. You'll always be picking me up. You'll always be encouraging me. And we realize neither one of those is a healthy place to be. We want to have a mutual relationship, a mutual friendship where iron is sharpening iron. There's a scripture in your notes I want to call your attention to there on the backside. And Sheree already used this illustration. I'm going to use it a little bit differently when I pick up my backpack in a moment here. But Galatians chapter 6 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Now there's a lot going on there, but look at the two phrases there that I put in bold print. Okay, the Bible, now you say, well, it's a conflict, right? Because it says we're to carry our own load there in verse 5, and verse 2 says carry each other's burdens. Which one is it? You know, am I supposed to carry my own load, or am I supposed to carry each other's burdens? Well, let me illustrate it this way. Your own load is a backpack, okay? We all have a backpack we carry through life. Now, again, a little different than Cherie's illustration. So I'm not saying this backpack does not represent anything bad. This represents sin or bad habits. It just represents life. How many of you know that life is sometimes difficult? We all carry our stuff through life. I mean, we've got issues. If we took time, we could say, well, hey, I'm struggling here, or I'm having a hard time on the job, or I've got this relationship issue, or financially I'm hurting, or my prayer life, or whatever. We all have stuff that we just have to deal with to go through life. We all have a backpack to carry. Amen? If you don't have a backpack, I'll give you mine, okay? I mean, there's just stuff, because I'm living in this fallen world, and I'm a fallen man, that I just got to deal with. I mean, there's just, life isn't perfect for anybody. There is a heaven, and this isn't it, right? I mean, we're just living, and so the Bible says we're all to carry our own load. There are things that I've got to carry that you can't carry for me, right? I mean, tomorrow morning will be Monday. I've got to get up, and I've got to get ready, and I've got to do, you know, you can't do that for me. You know, I've got to encourage myself in the Lord. I've got to read the Word. I've got to pray. All those things that are part of my backpack. Are you with me? Say amen. You've got the same thing. I can't do that for you. You've got to do it for yourself. So we're all to carry our own load. But then it also says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. There are some things. Now, this isn't a backpack. This is a boulder. Okay, there are some times that life presents to us not just a backpack of life, because we're humans and we live in this world, we carry it. There are some things in life that are just too big for us to carry. And the Bible says, carry each other's burdens, and these are the boulders of life. There are some things that I can't carry on my own. You can't carry it on your own. You've got burdens, and you've got cares, and you've got relationships, and you've got issues, and it would really be helpful for you to have a friend to talk to about that. It'd really be helpful for you to have a friend that would put an arm around your shoulder and say, you know what, I want to pray with you about that right now. You see, maybe it's a project. Let's be real practical. Hey, I need someone to help me, you know, do X, Y, and Z, and I don't know what to do. Hey, we are called to bear one another's burdens. Kind of the extraordinary, the over and above that we can't manage on our own. No one is expected to move that boulder all by themselves. We need each other. And so there's no conflict here. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens, but also to carry your own load. And I think that really illustrates what's happening even in the story. That we see the man on the mat, and we see his friends that were helping him. And here's where, stay with me, hear this right here. I wonder if there was a time in the future. Now, this man was healed. He was healed, but I wonder if there's a time in the future when this healed man now was saying, now I can't wait to help you. You guys helped me. I mean, you stuck your necks out. You put a hole in the roof. You dropped me down in front of Jesus. I was healed. You know what? Nothing would make me happier now than to help you guys, because you guys did something for me. Can't you see him doing that? And having that idea that, listen, now that I'm healed, I want to be able to help you in that way. I want to be able to reach out and help carry the burdens that you carry in life. Number three. Life lesson number three, connection is worth the investment. Connection is worth the investment. I'm not going to lie to you today. Connecting with other people isn't easy. You know, we saw in that little video, it was cute to have the kids talking to the adults in the coffee shop, and that's a cute idea. But, you know, it's not easy to make relationships or friendships. You know, maybe once in a million, it kind of happens very easy for us. But, you know, we think back to when we were in school, we're all kind of the same age, we're all kind of put together in a school classroom. And maybe that was kind of easier to make friends. But as adults, there's not those kinds of things that bring us together. But wouldn't you also agree that connection is worth the investment, as are most things of value? Take effort. If you want to have anything valuable in life, it's going to take effort, it's going to take time, it's going to take skill, it's going to take all those things. Now, go back to our story. Think about this man that's on the mat. His whole world is that mat. We don't know exactly how large a mat is, but picture a large beach towel. That's about the size of his mat. His whole world was on that mat. He couldn't leave it. He was crippled. He couldn't get up. We don't know if he was born this way. We don't know if he had an accident when he was an adult. We don't know how it happened, but his whole world was that mat. Your entire horizon, 3 feet, by 6 feet. You're dependent on people to move you. You're dependent on people to change your bedding, perhaps even to change your clothes, or to empty your bedpan, to feed you, to protect you from the rain, the sun, and the wind. And in their culture, they had no idea of Social Security or government help at all. In fact, in the 5th century in Roman Empire, there was a terrible law in the books. Listen, it said this, quickly kill a deformed child. That was their method. Hey, if you have a baby that's born that's deformed, hey, we can't really take care of that baby. So it was euthanasia on the spot. So here is the question. Here is the million-dollar question. Listen carefully. How did this crippled man get such good friends? How in the world did this man, whose whole world was wrapped up in this 3-foot by 6-foot mat, how did he have friends that cared about him so much that they're going to break every social law, they're actually going to break a hole in the roof, they're going to interrupt Jesus, they're going to make this huge mess to drop their friend. How did he have such good friends? I don't know completely the answer, but I've got to believe that he found a way to bless those guys. He found a way to encourage them. He found a way to help them. He found a way to add value to their life. He found a way to invest in them, so when they had an opportunity to invest in him, they were able to do it. I believe this man was reaping what he had sown. Perhaps every day as he laid on that mat, as people walked by in the busy life, he said, you know what? I'm going to encourage people as they walk by. And as they walk by, I'm going to say, hey, I hope you have a great day. I'm praying for today. Whatever his encouragement was, as they walked by day after day, he encouraged them until finally a friendship began to foster, a friendship began to grow. And these men that were encouraged day by day by this crippled man said, you know what? If I could do something for you, I'd love to do. I've heard Jesus is able to heal. Let's take you to Jesus and see what happens. You see, and they had this relationship, and they had this connection, and they loved him so much because he had invested in them, and now they were willing now to invest in him. You see, the Bible is true when it says we reap what we sow. And somehow, we don't know the answer completely. When I get to heaven, I want to have this conversation. I want to ask the man, now tell me the backstory. Tell me what we don't know from the Gospels. How did you guys have such a great relationship that you had guys that were willing to tie ropes to the corner of your mat, put a hole in the roof, and drop you down in front of Jesus? Tell me that story. I can't wait to hear it. But they realized, and this man realized, that somehow that connection was worth the investment. Connection was worth the investment of time and effort and encouragement and love and whatever else it took to build these relationships that would then literally allow him to be healed as he was lowered down, lowered down, lowered down, and Jesus forgave his sins and healed him. I asked myself the question, how many other crippled men in Jerusalem of those days wanted to be lowered in front of Jesus? How many crippled people laid out alongside the road thinking, if only I had a friend, if only I had someone that would care about me like that, but they didn't have the time or didn't make the investment in relationships to have the kind of friends that would do that for them. Yet somehow, despite the physical challenges, he had strong relationships that helped him tremendously. So here's the question. Let me close with this question. What about my life? What about your life? Am I putting these truths into practice in my life? You see, this isn't just a story that I heard in Luke chapter 5. This is something I need to live out and I want to live out. Am I being connected in relationship with people around me? Am I investing in people? Am I realizing that it's worth the effort, that I'm building mutual relationships with people? In fact, I want to ask you this question. And the altar call this morning is going to be a little bit different. Sometimes you say, with every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to do the altar call this morning with every eye open and every head up. And Lana, would you put that next slide up on the screen? Let me ask you this question. What's your next step? What's your next step? You hear a message like this about connecting with others. You hear a message about friendship or relationship. Let me ask you the question. Only you can answer this question. Who is it that you need to reach out to? You know what? Your mom was right. The best way to find a friend is to be a friend. And you might say, oh, Pastor, I sure wish someone would reach out to me. I sure wish someone would pick up the phone and call me. I sure wish. Listen, I get that. But the question I'm asking you right now this morning is, what is your next step? Who is it that you need to reach out to? Who is it that you need to call or to invite or to open up? Maybe there's a relationship you have with somebody you know that would go a whole lot deeper if you would just open up a little bit. If you just say, you know, I don't always have to be the strong one. I don't always have to be the one that's got all the answers. Maybe I need to say, you know what? I need you to pray for me today. I need you to know that I'm struggling today. And you need to build in that mutuality into your relationship to really make it strong. I don't know where you are today in this question. Maybe it's a group you need to join. Maybe it's an invitation you need to make. Maybe it's a phone call you need to make. Maybe tomorrow morning you need to walk across the office and have that conversation. I'm not sure what it is. But with every head up and every eye open, I want to ask you that question. Because Jesus calls us to step out in relationship. He wants us to be connected. Here at South Point, we need each other. We need to be connected with each other. It's not just enough to come in and enjoy an hour together and Sunday mornings. God's calling us to a deeper relationship, a deeper level of friendship and connection. That's what our connect groups are all about. That's what all of our other groups are all about, getting people to be connected. Amen? Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for the way that you modeled for us the importance of relationship, the importance of connection. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've not just told us to do it, but Lord, you modeled it for us. We thank you for this story, Lord. There's so much happening and so much going on, Lord, that's great, but Lord, help us to have those kind of relationships, to be in connection with people, Lord, like that. Help us to invest our time and invest our energy into people. Help us, Lord, to have relationships that are mutual, Lord, relationships that are truly life-giving. Help us, Father, to see the value in it. Lord, I pray for us here at South Point, Lord, that we would not just be a church of people that gather on Sunday morning and then we say, hey, we'll see you next week. Lord, speak to us about what we need to do, Lord, to reach out and to open up and to call and to invite and to join in and to take that next step. Lord, I believe for each one of us this morning, there's a next step we need to take. Father, I take a moment right now and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to each heart. Each one of us right now, Lord, that you'd speak to us about our next step. What is it? What is it, Lord? Help us to know what it is you're calling us to do, Lord, because we desire to be obedient. We desire, Lord, to follow you and to serve you well. Help us, Lord, we pray. And Father, as you tell us that next step, Lord, we commit to do it. Lord, help it not to just be, oh yeah, that was a good idea. Lord, help us to follow through. Help us to make that next step, Lord, in our relationships, in our connection, in our friendships, we pray, because we know it'll make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you, friend. Maybe it'll help.